This message is not given on a communion Sunday because at Daleville Christian Church we have communion, celebrate communion every Sunday. This meal that we gather for at this communion table was the last thing that the disciples did together with the earthly Jesus. The next time they did anything together, Jesus would be resurrected. This meal was the last thing that the disciples did together. And this is one of the last things the earthly Jesus told the disciples to do. We recall Jesus' words, and they're carved into the table here in the sanctuary. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus wants us here. Jesus said that he meets us here. When even just two people gather in Jesus' name, Jesus says he will show up. Also, a reminder that Jesus is interested in groups of people, even two people gathering in his name. Jesus was all about support and sharing. Jesus instructed to pray alone, but that was about the only thing Jesus instructed we do on our own. Jesus also said that Jesus was building his church. Jesus says, I build my church. In only one place in Scripture does Jesus say, I build. Jesus doesn't build me. Jesus doesn't build you. Jesus builds his church. And you all, you together, my friends, are the body Jesus is building. You are Jesus' hands and his feet. You don't go in your own strength, but you are Jesus' hands and feet to accomplish what Jesus wants us to accomplish. You are not called to accomplish anything alone. Be supported, be encouraged, be lifted up, be supplied by your church. That is what Jesus intended, and that is what Jesus intends. The church is Jesus' institution. The church is the one and only thing that the carpenter from Nazareth says that he is building. The man Jesus was a carpenter. There's only one thing that the carpenter says he is building. It is his church. And Jesus' church celebrates this supper that Jesus instituted. But I'm getting ahead of myself. This moment of communion, because we do it every time we gather, this moment sets us apart from almost every denomination and many non-denominational churches. Let me say that again. This moment of communion in our worship, because we do it every time we gather, this moment sets us apart from almost every denomination and many non-denominational churches. Communion means what it sounds like, a common union. And we intend, just as Jesus intended in this ritual meal, to proclaim our common union with Jesus Christ and our common union as those who together are saved by Jesus Christ, saved by the covenant that was made in Jesus' blood. So there are four reasons to keep doing this communion thing. You don't have to memorize all four of these reasons, accept all four reasons, but you don't have to memorize them, but really, would it kill you to learn these? Four reasons to do this communion thing, and I encourage your participation on the basis of these four biblical reasons to celebrate this meal. So here are the four reasons to keep doing this. First of all, Jesus did it. Jesus gave it to us. We keep doing it because they did it. We do this in imitation of the disciples, so we are imitating. It is in imitation. Secondly, Jesus intended us to do it, a sign of his invisible presence until the kingdom comes in its fullness. It was done at Jesus' instigation, and we do it at Jesus' instigation. I could have used the word initiation or inauguration, but instigation is a stronger word. He instigated this. Thirdly, the meal the disciples were celebrating was the Passover, meaning a covenant, an agreement, which celebrated salvation, newly understood. So it was Jesus' institution, the preservation of the covenant symbol. And we'll talk more about this in a moment. And fourthly, the symbol of Jesus' death, his broken and bloodied body and the blood, liberates us. And so it is for salvation. It is said in the book of the prophet Isaiah that it is by his open wounds that we are healed. Now I want to talk more about these four in more detail, these four reasons, because we do it in imitation, we do it at Jesus' instigation, it is Jesus' institution, and it is for our salvation. Well, I think we get the first two reasons. Jesus did it, and Jesus told us to do it, so that we imitate Jesus and we continue what Jesus instigated. The third reason is Jesus using the institute of Passover, maintaining parts of that institution with new meaning, so this is Jesus' institution. Jesus was celebrating the Passover with the disciples. This meal retains its Passover meaning. The Apostle Paul even calls Jesus our Passover lamb, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The Passover is a covenant meal outlined in the Old Testament. Take a look at the book of Exodus chapter 12. There we read that it was the blood of the lamb that, when placed on the doorposts and lintels, that protected Israel from death. A covenant required blood. Of the whole Passover meal, this is all that is recorded for us, the bread and the cup for the disciples. But we can be assured that it was a complete meal. The bread and the cup were lifted up for centuries before Jesus. They were reminders that this is a covenant, and as I have mentioned, a covenant is cut. In the previous message, I talked about a covenant is cut. That's what you do with a covenant. You don't make a covenant, you cut one. The covenant involves cutting and the making of blood. Blood is life, still is. Man has known since the beginning that the loss of blood is a threat to life. Lose enough blood and you die. So if you are serious about an agreement, you will stake your life on it. You will put some of your blood to the agreement. You will cut a covenant. Later, the blood was symbolized by the blood of animals, which in and of themselves were important. It was a sacrifice. And in this case, for the forgiveness of the sins of the world, it required the blood of the man who followed God completely and perfectly, the Son of God. It required the blood of someone who had not done anything wrong and had not done any person wrong, and that was Jesus, the Son of God. This covenant, if it was to work between God and humanity, would have to cut Jesus, and it would be Jesus' blood that would make it effective. When Jesus lifted up the bread and the cup, he told us this is a symbol for Jesus' blood and his bloody body. And we continue today to say the same words because Jesus said it. This is my body broken for you. This is my blood of the new covenant, Jesus said. A covenant is cut, and so there has to be blood. And Jesus says with the cup, this is it. This is the blood of the new covenant. But you see, the blood of that ancient lamb protected Israel. The blood of Jesus saves us. And we don't eat lamb at the Lord's Supper or the Lord's table. Jesus represented the lamb in the bread and the cup. We drink the fruit of the vine, which Jesus himself said, this is my blood. Of the bread, Jesus said, this is my body. That ancient Passover is represented here. And the meaning of the Passover is reinstituted with us, because it still means salvation. It still means life. But now it is the covenant of Jesus Christ that gives us life. So it is the institution that we redo here. Jesus said it. It's in red letters in some of your Bibles, so we can't miss it. Do this in remembrance of me. So Jesus didn't do it that one time so we could all just remember that Jesus did it once. Jesus didn't do the bread and the cup so we could just remember it once a year. No, Jesus says, do it. Do it again. Do it again and again. Jesus is inaugurating, initiating, instigating, institutionalizing this bread and this cup for his followers to continue. And we know from reading the books of Corinthians, the book of Acts, the churches continued to follow this action that Jesus initiated, the bread and the cup. Actually, they had a whole meal, but that is a topic for another time. Finally, this meal is for our salvation. You remember that the word salvation has in its root the word salve. Salve is for healing. This meal is for your salving. Jesus is our salvation. But there is no doubt that this meal is for our salving. We are being saved through this meal. There are several ways that we are being saved here and now. We turn from everything else to eat here. The Apostle Paul says you can't eat here and at the table of demons. And in Paul's world, there were many tables available for people to eat at in all the other temples in town. And some of the believers used to eat there. And some of the believers were still eating at the other tables. And that is why Paul had to explain that won't work. Eating here and eating next door does not work. You eat here exclusively. You gain nourishment from this table alone. You look to the one who saves you at this table. You are a part of this covenant and no other covenant. You eat this sacrifice and no other sacrifice. So when we turn to this table, we are focused here. In the same way, Paul says, when you come here, you have automatically turned away from every other source of help or sustenance or refreshment. You are here. And now Paul says there is hope because you have turned exclusively to this source of your salvation, to the one represented here, Jesus. And in coming here to Jesus' table, you have given up other sources of help, and that's good. Because depending on someone or something else other than Jesus will do you no good. Doing things halfway will not help you. The commandment states, serve the Lord your God and Him only serve. Serve God alone. God wants to get the glory for helping you, so we turn only to the Lord. And if you don't get that, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, then this table can't help you. Paul even explains. Paul even explains that this is the reason that some of the believers are weak and sick. They don't get that this table is their salve, their healing. Now I caution you, we decide in our own hearts whether to eat and drink or not. The church does not decide for you. We do not give you a test as to whether you can eat at this table. Since we assume that baptism is a sign of your following Jesus, our usual practice is to come to the table if you are baptized. But that's an assumption. The real issue is, do you see Jesus here, and is that why you are here? Is Jesus your salvation? In some of Paul's churches, some folks, even believers, would just show up because they were hungry. Some were even gluttons. But the real issue is, do you see Jesus here? And is that why you are here? You have to decide that. I can't decide that for you, nor can the elders of the church decide that for you. Paul believed that it's very important that we are liable to judgment. But the church does not have that responsibility. The apostle says that you and I have that responsibility. The apostle says you and I have to make that call, not the church. Now, what Paul would do and what Paul wanted the elders to do is ask people if they were eating at other tables, because you weren't supposed to do that. The apostle is so convinced of the healing power of this table, the healing power of Jesus' ritual that Jesus started and the church continues, so convinced of its healing power that the church did institute excommunication. And you know what excommunication means? It means what it sounds like. It means to be out of communion. Out of communion. If your sins were great and you did not repent of them, and the big three sins in the church's history were always murder, theft, and sexual sin. If you committed those and remained unrepentant, unchanged, the church would put you out. That's one of the duties of the deacons, kind of bouncers for the kingdom. I don't think that's what it says in the Bible, but it was true early in the church's history. And they did it for one reason: to keep the table pure? No. The church excommunicated people in the hope that they would change their ways and want to come back in so that their healing might continue. The intention was to bring the excommunicated back into communion. Just like a parent gives a child a time out of routine, a time out of play, a time out of TV, a time out of dinner, in order that the child change their behavior. That is what excommunication is for. It's for the purpose of redeeming us. Just as a timeout is for the purpose of bringing a child back into play, back into family, and back into the dinner. Excommunication was to bring the brother and sister back to the table that they might continue their healing. This too is mentioned in Paul's letters, and Jesus mentions shunning as a method of discipline. But like all discipline, it is for the purpose of restoring, for the purpose of healing, for the purpose of making better. It isn't punishment for punishment's sake. That isn't how our God operates. The church in communion wants you back in communion. Jesus died to give us communion. We invite. We are open. We don't judge you. We want your healing to continue. This table is your salvation, your salve. Four reasons, all in the Bible. Come for one of them. Come for all of them. But know that the church claims Jesus' invitation for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We do it in imitation of Jesus. We do it at Jesus' instigation. We do it as Jesus' institution. And we do it for our salvation. Amen.